We're moving through our series, The Songs We Sing, and we've come today to the topic of gratitude. And as I was praying through and planning this series, I noticed how many of our songs are laced with gratitude, just undergirded with joy in God and gratitude for who He is and what He's done. And so much of giving praise to God begins with gratitude. And so I decided to make this the topic of the entire sermon today, and I pray that by the end of our time together, that we will collectively and you will individually be more grateful than when you walked in. That's our goal. Back in 1913, Webster defined grateful this way: having a due sense of benefits received, kindly disposed toward one from whom a favor has been received, or willing to acknowledge and or repay or give thanks for benefits. As we break this word apart, we see that we are responding to mercy and grace, something the Lord has lavished upon us. We respond rightly with gratitude, grateful hearts. Now, the opposite can always be found, because where there is a noble response, there is always a sinful response. Am I right? We know that well, all of us, because Genesis 3 echoes in our hearts: the fall, sin, rebellion. To be ungrateful leads to a cesspool of sin. Ungratefulness by itself is sin, but then out of it flows all kinds of things, and it can be the result of many things: pride, self-centered selfishness, presumptuous, being presumptuous upon the grace of God or His mercy, being resentful to the lot God has given you, complaining, grumpy, just flat out grumpy, cynical, stand back, cross my arms, I don't know. So there's a generation of cynicism, and you see this much in politics especially. Some of these news shows are built on cynicism, and they've drawn a tremendous audience. Talk radio, discontented, angry, bitter. These things are things we do not want. Things that the Scriptures condemn. Things that if we're not careful, we will automatically go to by default. Therefore, what we want to spend time on today is looking at five characteristics of a grateful heart. And so you can see on your notes, we're going to move through five different points. I've tried to bring some things together, but my starting point is the Word. What does God's Word say about gratitude and thankfulness, being grateful? Five characteristics of a grateful heart. Let's begin where it always begins, where all hearts begin, find their origin of gratitude to God right here. A grateful heart, number one, is the gift of God. There is no one on this planet, except for three, I imagine, Adam and Eve and Jesus Himself, who was born with a grateful heart. All of us were born in sin, slaves to sin, darkened, alienated, hostile to God, not grateful to Him. By nature, we have a bent against gratitude. It's in us. Even though we are saved through Jesus, it lingers, this ungratefulness. We understand that grateful heart is a gift of God. Paul writes this: for all people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, makes the list, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, wicked, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. That's quite a list. At the heart of the list is a lack of gratitude. Wow. We find this, though, this promise in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you, keyword, cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Any delight, joy, gratitude you have for God is his gift to you. It did not originate in your fallen, dead, and darkened heart. And so as we walk with Christ and we walk in his light and we see the work of his Son Jesus applied through faith to our lives, we understand that we have a new heart, a new perspective on life. And gratitude comes from that place. It's the gift of God. Look at how Paul writes to the Colossian church and laces thankfulness and gratitude throughout. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. There's a command. So every time you're not thankful, you're breaking the command of God. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. How? How do we sing? How should we sing? With thankfulness in our hearts. To God. To God. And whatever you do, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. That's pretty comprehensive. Everything that we are to do is to be done within the walls of gratitude and thanks in the name of Jesus to God the Father through him. A grateful heart is a gift of God. Here's a song that captures some of this. You, O Lord, have made a way, the great divide you healed, when our hearts were far away, cold, not neutral, hostile, alienated, darkened. Your love went further still. He reached into the dark and dead place and said, live, let there be light, and took and did a heart transplant on us. Put us with a grateful heart. Number two, a grateful heart remembers what God has done. This could be the most important point on the whole list. A grateful heart remembers. Your memory has everything to do with your gratitude. Remember what he has done. Think of the scriptures. Just think even of the Old Testament scriptures that speak of this. Call it to mind. Don't forget. Stir up again. Tell generation upon generation of his mighty works, what he has done. David even said, Lord, don't let me die until I've told generations about your mighty deeds and how you've dealt with us. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Why recount? Why recount? One of the reasons is because David knows that our hearts are fickle. Our hearts, they wander, they forget. There's a song, I love this song, O forgetful soul, be reminded what he's done. When you're preaching to yourself, address yourself that way. Oh, forgetful soul. Oh, forgetful heart. Recall. Remember what he did. Remember what he's promised. Recall it. I will give thanks to the Lord, the thanks that's due to his righteousness. That which he is due. He is due thanks and praise. Because of who he is, because of what he's done. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Now, forgetfulness and ingratitude come together in amazing ways, especially as we see the chosen people of God throughout the Old Testament. They were given warnings. Watch this, Deuteronomy 8, 11 to 14. Take care, Moses tells the people, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, have built good houses to live in them, and your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will what? Be lifted up, and you'll forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. They were warned, they were warned, they were warned. Did this take place? Hosea confirms it. I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and besides me there is no Savior. It was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. But when they had grazed, they became full, they were filled, their heart was lifted up, and they forgot me. They forgot me. Israel is a living example for us of where our heart will go if we forget to remember. Always remember. Call it to mind. Don't forget what He has done. Rebellion against God does not begin with the clenched fist of atheism, but with the self-satisfied heart of the one from whom thank you is redundant. If when you say thank you, you've already heard that from yourself, you are walking down the road of forgetfulness. Your heart is lifting up, and you are beginning to forget. God did this. If you have gifts, if you have skills, if you got an A on that test, who is to be praised? You? No. God. If there is increase, if there is gold in the bank, herds in the field, houses and barns built, who did that? God did. This should never be sung by the Christian. I did it my way. I did it my way. It's one of the reasons why Christians should stand out as Americans. I did it His way is the theme song of the Christian. I did it His way, and I boast in Him. Let your boast be in Him. Failure to give God the thanks due His name is sin, flat out. It is sin. If I fail to give thanks to God what is due Him, I'm in sin. This would include the sin of ungodliness. That's when you walk through your day and you don't even acknowledge Him until like 3 o'clock when you're in a traffic jam and then you need Him all of a sudden. Gratitude should flow from moment one when the alarm goes off. Oh, I'm still alive. Thank you, Lord. It's more than I deserve. You gave me a day. I'm going to live it for you. Help me to live it for you. I'm so thankful. Then you get that cup of coffee. Whoa! Thank you, Lord, for that coffee. Man, and that warm water in the shower. Every moment can be captured to praise Him. Gratitude. If we live this way, oh, how we would stand out. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks, not just generic thanks, to Him. Give thanks to Him, the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let's come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Why do we sing? Why do we sing? Because there's expression of gratitude that has to happen. Not only have we been given this day to gather, but a whole week since we gathered last. The overflow of gratitude in our song. When we sing with gratitude, there will be passion in our song. If you're yawning through the singing, ask your heart what's wrong. If you're bored when you worship, you need to ask your heart, where's the gratitude? He has been good, and we sing because He has been so good. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We remember, we remember, we remember. Pray the gospel every morning. It'll change your life. Pray the gospel. start by saying, Lord, I thank you that I am alive because of Jesus and his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection. I give praise to you for your love to me through him. Now, I want to live for you. Jesus paid it all. Remember, remember, parents to your kids. Kids, don't ever forget. Let me tell you again, kids. Your coworkers. This is so easy then to speak of evangelism when you're constantly remembering, calling to mind what he has done. Evangelism happens this way. Number three, a grateful heart chooses satisfaction in a sovereign God. A grateful heart chooses satisfaction in a sovereign God. There is a sense of entitlement to God's grace and mercy that is epidemic in our day. When we walk into the presence of God as if somehow he owes us anything of grace, anything of mercy, we get the whole thing backwards. Someone's like, that just doesn't seem fair. We don't want fair. You do not want to stand before God and demand fair. Fair is the fires of hell. He's an infinitely just God. We are dead in our sins. You don't want fair. You want grace. And you fall on your face like John. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Lord, I throw myself totally upon your grace. Save me. Save me. Gratefulness is always a matter of perspective. It's always a matter of perspective. How you choose to see your circumstance has everything to do with the attitude of your heart. What do you have that you did not receive, Paul writes? Write that on your mirror every morning. Write it on your steering wheel. What do you have that you did not receive? Memorize that. And then come back at your old heart, your dead and darkened heart, with that. And guess what'll win? Every time. Gratitude. You don't have a thing that you did not receive from him. All things. Every good and perfect gift. That's from him. That's from him. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on the earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. He's my portion forever. Forever. Memorize this. There will come a day where these verses will live for your heart. Lord, you are my portion. You are my portion. I choose you. I make you my delight, my portion. There's nothing on earth I desire but you. If all I had left was you, you would be enough. Preach that to your heart until your heart finds an anchor in that promise, in that truth. Here's a couple from Joplin. He's reading in Time magazine. Ed Boyd and his wife. Tornado was coming, and she was running for the bathtub. He grabbed her hand and said, no, the stairs. Under the stairs, there's a closet. That's where they hid when that tornado came and sucked their entire house up. Oh, man. Imagine the noise. Imagine the strength of that twister, a twister strong enough to remove their house. The only place in the house left standing was the place that they ended up. What did they say? Tearfully, looking at the little closet under the staircase, in the middle of his vanished home, declaring, those stairs saved our lives. So this whole article is on grief and gratitude. Grief and gratitude. And I believe that there were Christians that a sovereign God allowed this tornado to suck their homes completely off the map to give them a platform to say words like this. As people crept through the jumble, filling boxes almost at random with soggy clothing, ruined electronics, rescued photographs, and woeful fragments of children's toys, what was most striking were the persistent expressions of gratitude. This writer she didn't get it. What's going on here? Peppered throughout, we're just grateful to be alive. God was good to us, one of them said. God was good to us. Choosing to find your satisfaction in a sovereign God. What matters most to me? What's the most important thing? Gratefulness is always a choice. This ties in with what we talked about in Sunday school. If ungratefulness is a sin, then I am free not to sin. I am free to obey. I am free to choose gratefulness. By faith, I can obey. I can honor and worship no matter what. Gratefulness is a choice. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The sovereignty of God will many times not make sense. That's the point. He is God and we are not. If you ask the question why, rarely can you explain. Why the suffering? Why this? Why now? But the command is rejoice. Rejoice always. Even when the storm winds blow, rejoice and pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. That is not easy, is it? You have to fight for this. It's the fight for joy. The fight for joy. Joy in God. Paul writes this, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, as he's in chains. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. What's he saying here? He's saying, when one of us suffer, he suffers. When the church, the body of Christ, the believers, when the believers suffer, Jesus himself suffers. Therefore, I rejoice. That is not fool's talk. That is the talk of a heart rooted in the gospel that can look upon suffering and rejoice. This is not fatalistic. This is faith. I will give thanks. Sometimes you have to tell that to your heart. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing today your praise among the nations. Your steadfast love is great, and you are faithful. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Blessed be your name, even on the road marked with suffering, even though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I will turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, still, O heart, listen now, heart, still. Sing this heart, blessed be your name. Number 4, a grateful heart clings, white-fisted clinging to the promises of God. A grateful heart clings to the promises of God. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare that you are steadfast in your love. In the morning, and then all the way at the end of the day, your faithfulness is there in my sight again. I declare it, and then I put it to music, and I sing it with instruments, the lute, the harp, and the lyre. Let us hold fast, cling, white-fisted clinging to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Gratitude, confidence, hope, and worship. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I will praise him. I will give thanks to him. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now listen, this verse can be misused. Don't let the misuse of this verse fog up the clear and glorious promise that it contains. Yes, Christians have misused this, but this is a promise. And sometimes you need to get your heart locking eyes with that promise. That could be the most sweeping, glorious promise for the Christian in the entire Bible. You root your confidence and your hope in that. No matter what comes my way, God, because I love him and he has called me to his purpose, God is working this for good. I might never see it, but I have confidence and my hope is placed in this. I can walk through this. He will bring good out of this storm. Jerry Bridges writes a prayer, "Father, the circumstance I find myself in is difficult and painful. I would not have chosen it, but you, in your love and your wisdom, chose it for me. You intend it for my good. And so by faith," key term, "by faith, I thank you for the good you are going to do in my life through it. Help me to genuinely believe this and be able to thank you from my heart, not just from the head. Okay, I know this is true, but my heart is angry. It's bitter. I'm fighting in faith to believe from the heart. Help me now." You ever been there? This is real life. There are times where your heart just breaks, and you've got to have an anchor that grounds it and roots it. Lord, help me now. Hold me. I believe. Help my unbelief. Shelter in the time of storm. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Number 5, a grateful heart cannot be concealed. A grateful heart cannot be concealed, hidden, restrained, held back. If you're grateful to God for the kinds of things that he has done for you, that he's doing for you, that he has promised to you, you won't be silent. I don't care if you're singing off key. You're going to be belting it out. It doesn't matter if you can't hold a tune. Crank it up. Sing his praise. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, my whole heart, in the company of the upright and in the congregation. The enemy hates this display. He hates this kind of passion. He comes against it with everything he is. And your dead heart doesn't like it either. Be free. Be alive. Sing his praise. Shout to God his praise. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. The effect of a grateful heart means that the gifts that God gives are to be expressed in their fullness in the church. Some people write music. Some people play music. Some people sing music. And then when we gather, it all happens. And he's praised. John Piper says this: "The climax of God's happiness is the delight he takes in the echoes of his excellence, in the praises of his people." Why do we sing? Why do we pray? Why do we give? Why do we preach? Why do we live? For his glory. To sing his excellence and let it echo, as in the Grand Canyon, throughout the world. Do the echoes of God's excellence ring out wherever you go? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy. It's a joy to honor you in all I do, in all I do, because I've been commanded to this and because I can't help but do it. What to honor you, Jesus, you're my King. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory. You might as well warm it up because the choir of your eternal life is going to be singing praise. So why hold back now? To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. You gave your life away for me. Your grace has broken every chain. My sin is gone. My debt's been paid. How glorious is your love. If I could sing forever, it's not enough. That's why we need forever. That's why if you are in Christ, saved through his work on the cross, you are given forever to respond and turn that back up to God. You're going to need it. It's that good. How marvelous, how wonderful. My song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Oh Lord, our hearts are full because of you. Once we were empty, chasing after a mirage in the desert, hungry, trying to find sustenance out of nothingness. And you stepped in and performed a heart transplant. Through faith, you opened our eyes to your Son and gave us life. You rescued and ransomed us from our sin and our rightful hell, from your wrath. You walked us in, Lord, to your family. Those who were once your enemy, now seated at your table, grace upon grace, lavished freely, Lord, who are we to receive such a gift? And Father, we're so thankful for the work that you're doing in this church, the people that make this church. We're thankful for the rock and the anchor that you are. Father, we've seen some pretty rough experiences recently. There's some deep valleys that you have ordained that those in our church should walk. And we thank you for your promises that gird us and hold us, that we cling to. And we thank you for your family. Make us, Father, we pray, a people of gratitude. So much so that we would stand out in the crowd. That we couldn't be quiet. Not able to quell a thankful heart, but just to overflow in expression of delight and joy and satisfaction in you. Forgive us, Lord, when we are ungrateful, when we get angry at your providence, when we question your hand, O Lord, forgive us. Help us to rest in your plan and to trust. In Jesus' name, amen.